So, Kate, we're recording this on Easter.
Oh, we are. I just ate a lot of candy.
For those who celebrate, I am sad that I don't get to be with you guys and the fam.
Yeah, we missed you.
But I got to meet a cute animal today that I told you about.
Oh, yes, you should tell that to the listeners.
Listeners, I live in a unique part of Chicago, and I met a man today who had a pet duck named Daffy.
Was it a black dog or was it what color
No,
was it?
it was like bright, like yellow, so actually that makes no sense. But yeah, that was my Easter.
I knew someone in college who had a pet duck.
What?
They kept
Really?
it in their bathtub in their apartment, and then I think they
Doesn't seem right.
had to like give it away to someone else
Yeah, isn't it like, it's
because
not a good idea to have a pet duck, right?
I think it needs to be like outside. Like you need outside space. I don't think an apartment is the best.
Like, babe, you need like a farm.
You do need a farm, yes. You need animals roaming free, animals
Yeah.
watching the television through the window, all of that.
Wait, I'm just realizing, Kate, it's not a duck.
Bridget! You just talked, it's
Wait, I
a duck,
feel really stupid. So, no, it is a duck, but like, it's all that, it's like chick fur.
Was it a little duck? Like a baby?
Like a yellow duck.
No, I know, Bridge, but was it like a baby?
No, it was like a teenager.
Are you sending me pictures of
I
ducks right
send you
now?
a picture of the duck to
There's
make
like,
sure.
oh, this is a huge link. Bridget, that is literally a baby duck. Look how small that is. What are you talking about?
It was bigger than that, but that was the like the feathers. All right,
Yes.
moving on from
Okay.
ducks.
It was a duck.
Sisters, sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters, sisters who've seen it. Sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, shooby-dooby-doo-wop, sisters, 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 sisters. Sisters who've seen it.
Hello.
Hi there.
Welcome back, listeners.
Welcome back.
I hope everyone is alive and not on
Oh.
fire right now because I just think of fire with this movie.
Well, do you know that an unofficial group of nuclear test scientists confirmed that if there was a real nuclear war, that is actually what will happen? And the reason that that was so chilling and realistic was because it was done by the one and only Stan
Stan
Winston.
Winston! I just went from
Boom!
horrified to excited in that entire sentence because Stan Winston! I know, I got so excited. I saw his credit.
Because I was with you, I was like, doom and gloom. And then I was like, but Stan Winston, Jurassic Park,
I
like classic.
know, we love him. All right, let me introduce ourselves first so people know who we are if you are new. So we are the Sisters Who've Seen It. The podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And hasta la vista, baby.
So good. So many lines.
There's
Come
a
with me if
lot.
you want to live.
Oh, I love that one. That's a good one. Yeah, the Hasta la vista one comes from like the kid, which I did not remember, but
Oh, yeah.
okay. Sure, checks out.
No problemo.
No problemo. Yes. And what's our movie, Bridge?
Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Terminator 2, colon, Judgment Day. Don't get it
Oh.
twisted.
Fern
Like
Gully,
Fern Gully.
comma, colon,
People don't
backslash,
forget Fern
WW.
Gully punctuation. Yep. Yep. And this was a fan pick from who picked this for us, Bridge?
Tom,
Tom.
who, okay, I gotta tell you, Tom is just somebody that like works out like crazy, that he might be the
Oh.
only person in my life that is actually like a real Terminator.
Tom, are you on the Linda Hamilton workout regime?
Oh my
Because
God.
I want to get on that. It's
He's
wild.
probably doing pull-ups listening to this, and he's like, I'll add some weights. Yeah, and I'm so excited. I did not give him a lot of time to prepare, but he
Okay.
gave me a bunch of his favorite scenes, and and I can rattle them off as we go through, or I could rattle them off now. But Tom, this episode's for you.
Thank you, Tom. This was a really, really good pick. I like this movie a lot.
Me too. I'm really into this movie, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many things he gave you. If it's like a lot, we might just want to go through, or if it's not a lot, you can maybe share them.
I think as I go through the movie, I should bring up, this is a Tom favorite scene, or this is a Tom favorite quote.
Yeah.
And actually, Tom with a T, I'll be like, you know, T-1000.
Oh, I was like, oh, yes, there is a T in Tom. Go on, go on. Okay, I get it.
And then an O.
And then, yeah.
Well, you definitely need to do the synopsis for
this
is in your genre.
Yes.
And even though it was a fan pick, this is definitely more in a you lane than me.
Definitely. Well,
good luck.
Yeah, there's a lot of story to this, but...
Future, past, past, future, the future's past to past, future.
Yeah, I know, there's a lot of, like, time travel, too. Well, and this is a sequel, which is important because that's very much plays into the story, and it plays into a lot of the stuff that you see throughout the movie. And basically starts off, we get kind of Linda Hamilton... I mean, girl, her voice got a workout in this movie, because I swear to God, they were like, anytime we need voiceover, we're just going to have Linda Hamilton do it, and like,
okay,
girl.
But she was like, she was trying to be the Morgan Freeman of this movie, and I didn't love it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
She went with like, serious depressed, and I kind of wanted her to be a little angry, and I was like, this is awkward.
Yeah, she had some weird acting moments in the movie too, I feel like.
Yeah,
but
I wasn't feeling it.
So we get some basically exposition from her, and she's like, yo, 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 everyone's dead. It's the future. Sup. And she says, you know, all the machines like took over, and now there's human resistance, and my son, John Connor, is like the leader of the resistance, blah, blah. So she talks about how, oh, there was two Terminators sent to kill John Connor. And she says, the first one was trying to actually kill me to prevent him from being born. And that was the first movie. That was like the whole plot of the first movie. And then in this one, she was like, and now they sent a second one to get him when he's a kid. And she just says that. So you only know, like, okay, now there's still one bad guy, we assume. But then she was like, oh, but someone else was sent to protect him. So you're like, okay, so there's two things sent back in time relating to John, and it's vague, and it's done on purpose. And so basically, John Connor, he's this little kid, and you know, again, we got another little emo boy up in here, little Edward Furlong. He's got the most 90s haircut I've ever seen in my life.
I wanted to say a Cher from Clueless quote. Okay. These men with their flannel shirts and the greasy hair and the baggy pants. I was like, this is so Nirvana right now.
That was him. He was super angsty. He's a foster kid because Sarah Connor basically was cuckoo bananas, according to him, and she tried to blow up, like, he goes, she tried to blow up a computer store. And I was like, I don't think that's correct. I think it was like a, she tries to blow up the place that, like, ends up creating this technology that then destroys the world. So then she's in a psychiatric facility. He's with foster parents. He hates it, blah, blah, blah. So right away, the first person you see that's being sent back in time is Arnold. Put that cookie down.
Okay, Kate. Okay, wait. I know you're in mid-synopsis, but what did you think of as the ball around, the circular ball around him?
Was it
and he's
Pokemon?
Yes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Pokemon style.
I'm just saying, that would have been a really good protector. You just send Mewtwo. You send Mewtwo back in time. You don't got to worry about John Connor. He gonna be okay. Yeah, it is Arnold. He is Nike, and he basically goes into this local, you know, a biker bar to get clothes. He beats people up, gets clothes, gets a motorcycle, gets a, what I'm assuming is some type of shotgun, but I don't really know guns. It was a gun.
Sure.
It was a big gun. And then you see the other person sent back, and it is, oh my God, I always get this actor's name mixed up.
Robert?
Oh,
Patrick.
You know what I was gonna say? Michael Patrick King. Who is the writer of Sex and the City? Nope, 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 nope. Those are different people.
Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick. We see Robert Ooh. Patrick, who he was not in the first movie, so we don't know who he is. We just see him, and he, similar, just beats up a cop and, like, steals the clothes and steals the car. And then right away, we learn, oh, he's looking for John. So we know that these two guys are looking for John, but we don't know who's a good guy, and you don't know who's a bad guy. And in the first movie, Arnold was the bad guy, which is important, because if you saw the first movie and you go into this one, you're probably gonna assume, oh snap, Arnold's back. He gonna kill us.
No problemo.
I'll be back.
He'll be back, and he was back. Back in no clothes. Bad accent.
I'll be a Pokemon ball.
I'll be in the Pokemon. So they basically hunt the kid down, and I love the scene. I hope this is one of Tom's favorite scenes when it's him in the mall, like, hallway, and the two Terminators are, like, coming at him, and he's in the middle, and Arnold is holding a, like, bouquet box of flowers. I have questions on... Where did they come from? Where did they go? Where'd you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? Because you don't have money, so what's going on? But he's hiding his gun in there, and you, again, think that, oh, snap, Arnold's gonna kill him, but then Arnold tells him to get or drop, duck or something.
Get down.
Get down, and then he starts attacking the other guy. So you learn, like, oh, snap, Arnold's a good guy. The other guy's a bad guy. Oh, my God. And the other guy is, like, a scary Terminator. He can, like, shapeshift and do some spoopy stuff. So there's a lot of action in this movie. Ooh. Holy moly. So there's, you know, lots of action. There's a whole chase scene. But basically, Arnold and John get away. And John is like, what the heck's going on? I'm 10 and I just got on a motorcycle with you. What's happening? And Arnold tells him, I'm here to protect you. That guy's trying to kill you. He's a Terminator from the future. Blah, blah, blah. And then the kid's like, oh my God, my Cuckoo Bananas mom was talking about this stuff. But I thought she was Cuckoo Bananas, but she's not. Oh, snap. He's like, we gotta go save her. And he was like, no. And then they end up going anyway. And that was a weird scene. But
well, because he goes, who sent you? And he's like, you sent me.
You sent me, right.
He goes, so you have to do anything I want. And he's right. Like, yes. And so he's like, so now we have to go get my mom. And he was like, okay.
But I was like, didn't he say he wants to go get him? Like, yeah. Just because he used different words? Whatever. Yes. It's fine. It's fine. They go anyway.
It's very Aladdin, three wishes. You can't wish for a wish, you know? You're like, right. What?
Gotta be very careful with your words around Arnold. So they go to the psychiatric facility. And Sarah, she's just like doing her own thing. She's like, I'm gonna bust myself out because I ain't got time for these Terminators and all that stuff. So she's like already breaking herself out, and she almost makes it. She actually might have made it on her own, but she sees Arnold, and again, to her, she's like, oh my God, this is the thing that tried to kill me. This is the thing I've been so afraid of. So she thinks again he's a bad guy, and then she finds out pretty quickly, oh snap, he's a good guy, and hey, there's my son. So another chase, T-1000, which is the bad Terminator, gets in there, kills a bunch of people. It's, you know, same thing. And then they kind of do another action-packed escape. There was a lot of action-packed automobile chases. Lots of chases.
So many damaged cars.
Yeah.
Guns.
Yep.
Special effects.
People. Yep.
Stan Winston pretty much directed the whole movie based on special effects.
Oh, don't tell James Cameron that. Ooh,
I did. Actually, I have a good James Cameron fact about his directing, so I gotta give him props for it.
Okay, well, hopefully it's a good thing because he's an interesting person. Anyway, so basically at some point they are like, listen, this is getting old. All these dang Terminators are coming in and they're threatening our lives and we gotta do something about it. So Sarah is like, who makes the technology? And then Arnold knows because he's from the future, so he gives her all that info and she's like, let's go this
problemo
up. So she at first is gonna go and try to kill that guy, then she kind of chickens out, and then she's like, you know what, let's just tell the guy about all this anyway and destroy all the stuff, and then maybe that will prevent the judgment day, because there's supposed to be a judgment day. I didn't know exactly timeline wise like when this judgment day was allegedly gonna happen in relation to this movie. I got the sense it was like in like 3 to 5 years maybe. I don't know.
I was all... The only date I remember is August 29th.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like...
1997.
Okay! And then in 2029, stuff's bad. So we got about 7 years left, or what is it, 8 years left.
Well, the judgment day is in the 90s. So I think we're okay. We made it.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So anyway, so then it kind of like, again, there's a lot of action where now we're doing this thing where we're in this facility where they create this technology and we're destroying it. And there's a whole bunch of police and action and blah, blah, blah. And again, the bad Terminator ends up finding them. And then they get chased at the very end to a like steel mill something very similar to the first movie ending where, because that's kind of what happens, same stuff. And in the end, the humans are alive. And then Arnold sacrifices himself, much like Jesus did. But he does not, and he, well, in future sequels, he gets resurrected. I was trying to make an Easter connection because it's Easter. Arnold's like, I gotta go too because they could steal my technology. Bye-bye. And we're all like, oh. And then that's the end. And then you could assume the judgment day doesn't happen, but then there's crappy sequels that poop all over itself. So thank you so much. I don't know how long that was. I tried to
It was about 20 minutes.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to add some things, but I think that that was a fantastic breakdown because this is a little complicated and it is good that you referenced the first movie.
Yeah.
Because I had seen this, I forgot about the whole, which one's the bad guy?
Right.
Because T-1000 haunts my dreams. And
he's,
I saw
so scary.
His face again and I was like a little kid in our home.
Oh God.
Shaking in my boots like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
His metal claws always got me.
Oh, I hate it.
That just freaked me out. But I think the other part of this film is the 10-year-old trying to teach the Terminator how to be a human.
I know. They, like, have little, like, father-son-esque bonding.
So he teaches him, like, cool slang, and then he orders him not to kill anybody.
Right.
And it's all, he's kind of adding this, like, compassion element to it.
Yeah.
And that's where you get, like, a little humor, because if you didn't have that, this would be a very dark movie that's just action, and I think you could get like tired from it.
Yeah, that's how I kind of feel about like the first one. I feel like it's like just too much action and not enough like humor, whereas like you said, I think this one did a better job of like, hey, we got a kid, might as well make him be like the point of humor in a lot of these scenes.
Yeah,
so let's do it.
And people criticized this movie for that. They were like, oh, the cheesy lines and like, you know,
rude.
Hasta la vista, baby. I'm sorry, but in 1991, that was awesome. Okay, it not maybe 2021, but 1991. Yeah.
I feel like this movie's got way better ratings than the first Terminator.
In the first 2 days that this was out, it already made the same amount of money as the first movie.
Now,
it came out 6 years later, so you could argue like, okay, but still, 2 days?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terminator 2 is a higher, I mean, IMDb rating, but still, Terminator 1 is 8 out of 10. Terminator 2 is 8.5 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, which
that's
is high.
That's a high rating.
I know, that's pretty high. But it really is. It's like, it's a good movie, and they do a good job of putting, like, the human emotions in it. And again, they use the kid for that. Like, this, like, if they didn't have the kid in this, I don't think it would have worked. Like, if they were like, no, we'll have it, like, him be an adult, I don't think it would have been the same. I thought that was a really good choice, having it be a younger kid who's, like, already on his own, a little emo, and is like, wham, my mom doesn't love me, and she yelled at me, and I'm gonna cry. And Arnold's like, what are you doing to your eyeballs?
What is your eyeballs doing?
I was like, wow, no chill, Arnold. Like, relax. You don't need to point that out.
And then he tries to explain it, and he's like, I don't get it. I was like, yeah, we know, Arnold. We know. Okay, there was this time period where, which was very much like, as you got close to the 2000s, where, like, robots were the scariest thing in the world.
I'm sorry, they still are. I think they're so scary.
Really?
The idea of robots, like, taking over is scary.
I understand the fact that, like, that other theme in this movie was that, like, humans are designed to destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
Or our earth, environment, etc., whatever. Okay, I believe it, that sucks. But I think that in movies, or even TV shows, think of the Jetsons, we were all convinced we would be flying by now.
Right.
And in this movie, and in that time period, like, like, robots are going to take over. Okay, in my very small world where you deal with people doing AI and digital, I mean, we can't even get a chatbot to, like, answer the right question when somebody's on a website looking for their email. So, like, I'm not that afraid, but I get the fact that, like, it could get super duper dark if you add in the nuclear and the war and, like, yeah. the government piece makes it really, really, really scary. So, I don't know. But there was just that time period where it was like iRobot and everything was apocalypse, and I feel like those movies have kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, I think a little bit, just because, like you said, there's been a lot of material on it already. Yeah. I mean, even back to like 2001 A Space Odyssey, I mean, the villain in that movie is literally the space robot that's like controls the ship, and then just that whole idea of like future and like technology is gonna like be smarter than us. It freaks me out. And you know, in this movie too, if you hear the setup and you're like, okay, so you're telling me this like created to murder robot who is a liquid and can imitate other people, including their voices, is going to try and kill someone? That's gonna succeed. Like, that in itself is so scary. And then, you know, obviously.
I have one argument, though, about him, and then we should probably get into the scenes.
Okay.
So you're telling me he's got this mind-blowing technology. He's basically a murder machine, but he can't track where the
Problemo.
John Connor is.
Yeah.
They didn't add in that technology because that was pretty lame. So he's just strutting around on a motorcycle trying to find him. I'm like, really?
Well,
really?
How's he gonna track him? He would need, like, a tracking device on him or something.
Katie, he is shape-shifting into other people. We are making things up at this point.
Okay, but like, ugh, Bridget.
Like, what? Come
he
on.
He's a policeman. I don't know. Yeah. All right. So
he's a Pokeball.
he's a Pokeball. Yes.
He and is. He emerges naked. And what coffee cup is in that first scene? Tell me you saw it.
Tell me you saw it on the ground
at the truck stop.
Was it a Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes!
Oh, thank God. Sweating. Oh, dear. I should have known.
So this is Tom, T-1000. This is one of his favorite scenes, and I thought it was really great.
Naked Arnold
rolls up to the motorcycle bar, and the thing I loved about this movie is how it switched to his vision, and you were yeah. in a video game.
Right.
And he found the guy that had the matching outfit and boots and was like, I need your clothes, boots, and motorcycle.
Yep.
And the guy's like, huh? Ugh, what a weirdo.
I was like, that guy looks like kind of skinnier than you, Arnold. I don't know. You think like this? Are you sure? Okay.
I mean, his robot vision did the
stuff. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so, and then it's just, like, fun to see him, like, beating people up, and, oh, when he threw him on the grill, I was like, ah, oh, yee,
I know,
ah,
I was like, that's aggressive, like, it went from, like, 0 to 100 in here, and, like, you're just trying to get a jacket and some pants, I mean,
but
relax.
Honestly, like, then he's in this motorcycle outfit with this, like, cool jacket,
and the sunglasses, that
the
was
the sunglasses,
cool.
And, like, yep. Okay, so then what, the owner, the bar manager comes out and is like, I can't let you take the bike, and he's got the shotgun, and he just whips it. He takes it from him in 3 seconds, and the guy's like, oh, and then
yep.
he just takes his sunglasses, and when he sits on the bike and he puts the gun up, it's like you've seen that picture 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I got really excited at that point. I was like, wow.
Didn't they play
Bad?
I was like, wow, that's a good music choice.
There's a lot of interesting music to
yeah,
this movie.
There sure was. Like, there sure was. It was a lot of like 80s, like 90s vibe.
Yep.
I'm just looking at my notes and I wrote this phrase a billion times, which could speak to how great this movie is. I wrote like, wow, 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 wow. Like, I wrote that so many times. And I wrote that when the owner of the bar comes out and he's like, hey man, I can't let you take that. And I go, wow, 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 wow. This song intro for Biker Arnold. Wow, 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 wow. Some guy trying to be a hero, but then he does nothing productive. And Arnold gets cool glasses. Wow, 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 wow. Yep. Yep, that's how I felt watching this movie.
Oh,
I was
my God,
in awe.
It was so good. It
yeah.
was so good.
And even, okay, so like, again, if you've never seen this movie before and you've only watched the first one, you really don't know who's good and who's bad, like I said. And so I thought it was interesting how for Arnold, they did show him like roughing people up.
Yeah.
But also not like murdering.
Yeah.
He didn't like shoot anyone in the face. Like he kind of took what he wanted and like fought back. But then whatever, he left. But it was interesting that he was like all dressed up as the biker, right? So he's like the tough guy, scary guy. And then when Robert Patrick comes, he gets dressed up as a cop. So you're like, oh, a cop. Well, cops are like, you know, the good people. And like, there's that. And it was just, I thought that was an interesting choice that they made.
Well, do you want to know a really, really sad fact? The bar scene, the actual night that they filmed it, they were across the street from where Rodney King got beat up.
Oh my God.
The same night. So
that's horrible.
I have this thing. I didn't necessarily read it anywhere, but I just had this thing that they were kind of like cops or not. Like, I think your point is right. Like, oh, he's the good guy as the cop in 1981. But I think it was also during a time where it was like, cops aren't the greatest right now. And so he also is the evil guy.
I don't know if it was so much like a point being made about cops in general, but I think it was more of a point of being like, oh, you know, a cop is someone that is supposed to be there to help
and
you.
Serve.
And you're supposed to be able to like talk with them and like give them information and like stuff like that. So I just thought that was well done.
Well, he got good access, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Every place he walked in, they were like, oh, go right in, sir. Like, he just got the royal treatment.
Okay, even the foster parents, he goes to the house and he's like, hey guys, I'm looking for John. And like, was like all nice and friendly. And they're like, what did he do now? Like, they're such jerks. And he was like, oh, I just need to talk with him. Like, he's so sketchy. And they're like the worst. They're like, yeah, here's a photo. Here's where he last was. Keep the photo. Do you want his birth certificate? What
you
else?
Know what, you know what? Can he just adopt him? Do you mind just taking him from
seriously.
Us? It's not working out.
That's seriously what it felt like. I was like, okay, that, don't do that. Parents, don't give away pictures of your children to people you don't know.
But that was a good setup because when he cloned as her and he was on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, why is my foster mom being nice? I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Oh, no, it's like, your foster parents are dead. Good night. He hangs up the phone and then we all just move on. I was like, okay, well, great times.
Also, what did I have here? I had, 1991, right? So, like, I was kind of checking out people's outfits and that's... And the foster dad, I was like, wow, Todd, I think that's his name.
Todd.
I was like, Todd's dressed like a real hipster right now. Like if he had a mustache that went up and you plopped him in the middle of a city with an expensive coffee, you'd be like, this isn't 1999 or 1991. This is 2021. Todd's a hipster.
Well, I'm telling you, I think some of these hairstyles are probably going to come back in style.
Oh, definitely.
John Connor's hair. I'm like, that's giving me Devin Sawa vibes.
Oh,
right?
Sawa, you right. Also, what was with Linda Hamilton's bangs?
Oh.
She was like eating them. They were so long.
I didn't know what they were.
She was like, I'm trying to do the backstory of this movie and I'm eating my bangs.
I mean, her hair was way better in this movie than it was in the first movie, because in the first movie it was like permed out, lady. And I was like, no. And they have her when she's doing that, like, she has that dream and you actually see the dream, like, later in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where she sees, like, herself as a mom, I guess, whatever. And you see her with the hair. And I was like, talk about a nightmare. Am I right, Linda?
Ooh. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, our mom had that look for
a bit. I know. I remember. And it was, like, around that time. It was, like, late 80s, early 90s.
It was, like, just when video cameras came out. So, like, that's, like, the first introduction to Miss Maureen.
Yeah.
Okay, but speaking of Linda Hamilton, the infamous pull-up scene.
So cool.
Right after the, like, you realize that they're coming after him, you just shoot to her. And, like, the mental hospital situation was very dark.
Very.
And I hated it. No. I hated all of it.
Bad ethics, definitely some illegal stuff going on there. I hate it all.
I hated all of it. And like, I guess in a way she got a little bit of revenge when they saw the like Terminator and they're like, she's not crazy. But I also felt like she didn't even get that moment where people believed her. Like, she just wanted out. I don't know. I had trouble following her character, to be honest.
I don't think anyone did acknowledge the Terminator stuff because they were all getting, like, knocked out. And then all of the, like, authority figures in the movie were basically like, there's this man we saw in the mall, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we saw him years ago, and he's with Linda Hamilton. They're bad people, and that's that when, like, in this movie, that's not the case. Yeah. They're, like, the good people, and then nobody even, like, made acknowledgement that, like, Robert Patrick was the bad person, because he just killed everyone. It was like anyone in his path, he literally killed. Ugh, a lot of murder.
So much murder.
What didn't you understand, though, about, like, Sarah Connor? Because maybe I can help.
I just felt
clarify.
Like, okay, so when she sees her son, I guess she's in shock because she also sees the Terminator, but she was like, oh, hey. And I'm like, wait, wasn't this, like, isn't this the whole reason you want to exist, to, like, go find your son? And then when she finds him, then it's like, now I have to go save the world, but I don't really have a plan. But I've been in the mental hospital thinking about this forever, and I just was like, where are you going? I didn't know how to deal with her.
Okay, so I don't think her whole motivation was the son. I actually think the whole motivation was to stop the Judgment Day thing, and I think the reason that she says to the psychiatric doctor, where she's like, I just want to talk to my son, I think the reason she wanted to do that was to talk more about the Judgment Day, because I think she knew, like, oh, he doesn't believe me anymore, and, like, he's out, and he can do something about it. So I felt like her motivation in the beginning, and for most of the movie, was really like, we gotta stop this, we gotta stop this, we gotta stop this. And then I think she does kind of get to the point closer to the end of the movie, where she then starts to be, like, more of a mom, and starts to, like, recognize, like, oh, snap, you know, I'm focusing so much on the world, but, like, then I have my son here, who's, like, a little sad emo kid, you know, who's trying to adopt Terminators as his father, and maybe I should step it up.
Looking at the machine, I realized he would never leave my son. I was like, ew, is this like a machine turn on right now?
She's like, he's a better father figure than any man I know. I'm like, what's like, going on here?
What's happening? Let's get Morgan Freeman back.
Just very...
Okay, let's get into action pack, because you mentioned Arnold's bouquet of roses.
Amazing.
By the way, that mall is Fast Times at Ridgemont High Mall.
Wow.
Does anyone need to know that? No. But do you know it now? Yes.
I like that. I like that fun fact. That's okay. Always a good time when you recognize a place. I thought you were going to say is the same mall from Jingle All the Way, and I was like, well, put that cookie down. Thank you.
So, that would be so awesome.
That would be, but I'll let it slide. It's okay.
So I think the whole, like you mentioned, he's like, get down.
Yeah.
And I love how every time T-1000 got shot, you had like this metal hole.
Yeah, it was
and
so
you're just
scary.
Like, yeah. Like I love the fact that it was like an upgraded machine and he had all these things we didn't know about. And then you started to learn that like his hands could just like murder people and he could shapeshift. And he was so scary, but so exciting because you never knew what he was going to do in the fight. And it was awesome.
And he could run like pretty fast, where I was like, ah!
Like, that's him.
I believe that. Like, it was scary. The kids on the little, I don't know what the heck that kid was driving. It's like a little moped or something.
Yeah, whatever.
And when he's chasing him on that, I was like, this is so scary. Like, I was getting Velociraptor vibes because I was like, if I had either of those things running after me, I would just lay down and die because no way, Jose.
Who's faster, Robert or Velociraptor?
I don't know the answer, but I think of the first Terminator movie and you never, and not even in this movie, you never see Arnold run. So like that was another, what I would consider an upgrade. Like it was cool to see that because if you came into this movie expecting like, oh, it'll be a similar Terminator, like,
problem.
No, this guy can run. Like he's gonna, he's gonna get you. He's not just walking places. It's
so
scary.
I read all about, basically Linda Hamilton was training like a crazy person for this film because she was like jacked.
She was in just crazy shape. It was wild.
But she was also like so small.
Yeah, it did confuse me. There were muscles in strange places, but there were muscles.
Yeah, and then the T-1000 dude did intense training specifically for the running scene.
Well,
so all of his training was around running. Right? Like no special effects. No like, oh, we're going to make something look slower as it passes by him so he looks fast. Nothing. That was him running. Let me tell you, in the best shape of my life, I'm not looking like that.
Oh, no. No.
It's not happening for me. So, like,
yeah, my chase would not be as threatening. Yeah. Like, they would go to look back and they'd be like, wait, she's so far away. What? I think she's moving towards me.
You and I would still be literally, like, getting our parking validated. We'd be like, we're coming. We're going to come.
You'll be sorry in an hour.
Okay, but then you get into the coolest chase scene where he basically gets in the truck. Arnold's like, get on the motorcycle.
No. He doesn't tell him to get on the motorcycle. Arnold literally rolls up and gets next to his little baby moped. And he, like, grabs him and he puts him on the bike. What? Did you read anything about that?
Yes.
Like,
so okay.
I need to know about it because that looks so cool.
So first of all, like, there were some bad action scenes where you could tell it wasn't Arnold. I don't know if you paid attention.
I noticed, like, the one where the motorcycle, like, flies from, like, above to, like, the below road. And I was like, that's someone else. But
okay. Yeah. And then, like, you could see the face isn't always Arnold every time. But okay, 1991. So, like, we'll give it to him because it was still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He trained extensively to be, like, robotic with all of his moves. So all of those scenes where he's, like, lifting him up, or, like, the way that he, first of all, it was so cool how he would ride the motorcycle and, like, cock the gun.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of that. I was like, we get it.
Oh,
you know,
no, I was here for it. I was like, yeah, that's the coolest thing ever. But that was all him. And, like, his entire life up till acting was...
He was a professional bodybuilder.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess that doesn't assume you have athleticism, but he pulled it off because he still was robotic about it.
It was just really cool. I actually feel like a lot of this movie, it seemed like it was a lot of practical effects. Even like, the explosions and things crashing. I'm like, oh, that's like, you just crashed a real car right up in there because... Wow.
So this is the scene that I give huge props to James Cameron. So there's the helicopter scene where it goes under...
Oh, yeah,
overpass.
That was crazy.
That's a real helicopter doing that.
So
which
cool.
Which is so unbelievably dangerous that the camera crew was like, we're out. This is literally dangerous and too much. And James Cameron was like, put me on a bike. And he shot the whole thing himself.
A bike? Like a motorcycle bike?
Well,
or like...
No. He got on a tricycle and he was just like, I'm going to keep up with the helicopter.
Like, wait.
But how bad is that?
That's so crazy. Holy moly.
But again, props to Stan Winston, because
Stan Winston,
all the burning scenes, things were really burnt. I mean, their budget, it was like 80 to 100 million.
Yeah,
but then it went on to make like 500 million, because
right.
This movie is insane.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, I was like really into all of the like action, and I typically I'm like, oh, this is boring, but they would add a little comedy line and I was right back in right after I got bored.
They did, and each like scene action segment, I guess I should say, for the most part, it was always either a different setting or there were like different players involved. So it was never like you saw the same thing over and over. And so the first one, it's like, oh, you got John Connor and then you got Arnold getting away from the T-1000 and then they get away. And then the next action scene is at the psychiatric hospital, and that was so scary. Also, have you ever seen the, like, I guess it's a GIF where it's the reaction that they all have where they see the T-1000 and you know how it, like, goes through the bars? Like, he just, like,
melts
through them and they all have, like, a reaction shot and stuff. There's a GIF of that, except that you see all their reaction. They're all, like, horrified and terrified, and it cuts to, like, a little Pomeranian that just, like, walks through bars. And it's so funny.
Please send me that. Please send me that.
It's so funny.
Wait, could you go back real quick, though? Because I think one of the scariest scenes for me, personally, was the foster mom that shapeshifted and just killed the foster dad with the long sword arm.
She stabs the milk, which then stabs his mouth, which then stabs the refrigerator. There's three stabs in one. Wow.
That took me back to childhood, and I was like, I'm terrified. I remember this exact scene. I remember being on, like, the carpet at Johnny Court watching this, and yikes.
Oh. It is is scary because, again, when you're a kid, and I guess any person, you just expect that whoever you're talking to on the phone is, like, the actual person and not an evil Terminator sent back in future to kill you to stop the human resistance against the machines.
But at the same time, this is a Tom, aka T-1000 quote, where he goes, honestly, I love anything where they say cybernetic, human cyborg, cyborg relation, cyberdyne, cybernetic. He keeps listing things. And, like, I have to say, I really couldn't follow what Arnold was trying to explain. He's like, I'm a human cyborg with metal and skin, but I have an upgrade. And I was like, what? Cyborgs? Who? I just gave up.
I mean, he's just a Terminator that looks like a person and he has real human skin and blood. Whereas the T-1000 doesn't have any of that, which is why every time he got shot, it would just be like metal goopy stuff. Like, there was never any blood with him, which is like scary. Because you're like, how the do we kill you? Jesus.
Okay, so they break her out, which was really awesome.
Well, and again, she breaks herself out.
She breaks herself out. Let's give that to her. She did enough pull-ups to deserve that. She definitely, yes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome because that guy was gross. And also, like, come on, why did they lick her face? Why did that guy lick her face?
Because it was gross. It was disgusting. And I hate it.
By the way, when she was picking that lock, she actually picked that lock. That's how you pick a lock.
Pretty awesome.
There you go. If you want to know how to do that, just watch that scene over and over again.
I love it. But yeah, I do, like I said before, I do love when she's like, okay, I escaped. I'm away from everyone. Like, I got the keys stuck in the lock. They can't get in here. And then Arnold comes through the elevator. I love that because she's like, holy I'm gonna die.
Yep.
And then, you know, she discovers that he cool. Hasta la vista, baby.
Except for Liquid Man through the bars.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh, okay. So
okay.
Then when they're leaving the hospital and the Gary Liquid Man T-1000 is in the elevator and he's shoving his knives down
my God.
The elevator. And
that's
I was so scared. Also, I had a little bit of a Speed vibes, which I thought we need to do that movie.
Ooh, Keanu Reeves. Woo!
Whoa.
Love it.
Dude, stop putting spikes in the ceiling.
I hate the spikes through the ceiling. No, I hate it.
But they get away, which again, how does he not have the tracking feature? But I digress.
Okay.
I feel like then she starts to be like, okay, tell me everything about Dyson. And right, that was the guy who
was Miles part of Dyson.
Miles Dyson, who is part of Skynet. And
he creates the Skynet, which is the name of the software that then becomes self-aware and launches nuclear missiles.
Okay. Then they just, so let's see if I'm following this right. Then she's like, they go to some like auto mechanic, take a little breather as they pull out bullets from Arnold.
Yes.
Then they drive to her friend in the desert with a bunch of kids drinking tequila that has all the guns in the world.
Yep. There were two dogs there too. Don't think I didn't notice.
Why are they friends?
I don't know.
Why are we there? What is happening?
There was a part, I don't remember where specifically it happens, but I feel like there was a part where like John Connor is telling someone about like, yeah, my mom had a lot of boyfriends and like we were always like traveling and hanging out with like, you know, the cartel, learn how to be like a fight and stuff.
In Nicaragua.
So I thought that it was like, oh, we're at one of these ex-boyfriend places. I really didn't remember this part of the movie. And then it was like, JK, JK, LOL. It's just our friend Enrique. ¿Cómo estás? And then they're just like hanging.
And he was like, he didn't bat an eye. He was like, nope. Cool, you rolled up with a Terminator that
basically scarred
you for life and like just open up all my guns like you do you, you know? Like, listen, we're just out here taking tequila and just hanging out with the kids in the dirt.
We're just playing in the dirt. We're trying to have fun.
Playing in the dirt.
trying to have fun out here.
And then, okay, this might be the Bob scene.
I know exactly what you're going to say and I need you to say it because it was awesome.
Wait, which one are you thinking of?
I was thinking when he's like, who's this guy? And John Connor's like, it's our Uncle Bob. And they're like, Arnold's standing there like awkwardly. And this little toddler in overalls just walks up, no adults, and Arnold looks at him and Arnold grabs his overalls and like lifts him up to his face level and then puts him down and nobody says anything.
Nobody says anything
about it at all and we all just move on and I was like, what is happening?
Okay.
That was my Bob.
That was Definitely a Bob scene.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, what are we doing with this baby? But my Bob scene was when she has her daydream, and yes, you see her with her bad perm, and she's like, no, the nuclear, no! And then, okay, I get it. They all burn up, but then it's her skeleton arms, like, holding onto the fence, and I thought it was a little cheesy. I felt like it was a Party City commercial.
Little Party City. It was a little Party City. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. What's, like, enough.
Yeah, I know. But then that's what prompts her to be like, all right, I know we all had this plan as a team, but like,
problem.
The team. I'm going on my own to assassinate this man. And
I'm going to leave a carving note on the picnic table of my friend.
She does. She abandons her child with the, you know, foster Terminator dad. Also, I did really like, though, and I think this was happening in these scenes where they were with Enrique or at that place, where basically John is just, like, nonstop monologuing to Arnold and, like, treating him as, like, a counselor. And he's like, you know, I really miss my mom. And, like, I was really mad at her. But now I realize she was telling the truth. And, like, I didn't believe her. And, like, blah, blah. And he just keeps, like, talking. And he's like, I never met my dad. I guess one day I will. I can't wait to have a dad. And Arnold, like, is just not talking and, like, fixing something. I'm like, what is going on?
But then he says a really weird line where he's like, my mom and dad met one night and then they had me, and I haven't met my dad since. So I was like, is this why you're very attached to Arnold? And then in between, because they knew it was getting weird, he was like, hey Arnold, why do you gotta be such a nerd all the time? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you gotta say eat me, and here's how you do a high five. And he goes high, up high, and he goes down low, and he goes, you're too slow. Arnold looks sad, like, yep. He actually understood. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, are we killing time? Because this movie is already very long. It is two hours and close to 20 minutes. Why are we high-fiving? Let's get a move on, people.
Yeah, I loved it, though, because I was like, you're bonding with your adopted Terminator dad. Precious angel face.
It's like the future to ghost parents, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a Terminator father. I think that would be pretty cool, honestly.
Yes. And then, you talked about this a little bit, but then she goes into Miles Dyson. She goes to the house, and she's like, I've taken him out! And I wasn't sure why she didn't just kill him.
Because I think that was where, because she saw, like, oh, he's got a family. And I almost felt like it was a little bit of the son angle, because he also had a son. And so part of me was like, are you just recognizing that, like, he's human, and you're kind of realizing that he's just a human? Like, he's not doing, like, he doesn't know what he's doing type situation, where I think she kind of realized, like, oh, I can do this a different way. Like, I shouldn't do what I'm doing right now. And that's when John Connor comes in, him and Arnold, and they come in, and then John and Sarah, they, like, hug, and, like, she actually hugs him, and it was, like, really sweet. And you're like, oh, like each other.
You almost killed someone, but you decided not to.
Oh, precious angel face. Yeah. Oh. And then they come up with a better plan where they're like, yo, 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 your technology is going to murder everyone. Let's not do it. And he's like, oh, snap. I believe you.
Listen, this is definitely not true, because I feel like I would have seen this, but I would not be surprised if John Hughes, like, wrote a movie like this, because the kid was the only one being the adult and telling people how to, like, live life and be compassionate and not kill people. And
yeah,
what?
Well, as most children who experience trauma, they often have to grow up too fast. And that was definitely little John Connor. Oh my god, wait. And also, I love this scene, and I'm curious to know if this is one of Tom T-1000's favorite scenes as well. Where they're like, show him, Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
And he rips off the skin, and it's the bionic arm. Oh, Stan Winston. Oh, my God. You angel face.
Okay, so it was not one of his favorite scenes, but, I mean, I bet it was if he had more time to type this out. Because that was crazy. So cool.
It just looks so real. And I was like, if this movie was made now, that would have all been CGI. And it would have looked like trash. Yes. And it did not look like trash. It looked literally real. I was like, wait. Is Arnold part robot? And that's what he was cast in this part.
Everything makes sense. This is why he's Turbo Man.
Oh, Turbo Man.
So, honestly, it's so, so true. This goes back to our Jim Henson Dark Crystal episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the old way of physically making something. I don't care how great your technology is to look at how light bounces off something. You still have to look at it to get how you design it. And if you just make the thing, but of course nobody wants to pay the money for that. I'm with you. It's 10 times better. And it held up. You know what didn't hold up though in this movie? Is the sound effects. That really blew.
Which sound effects did you not like?
It was like punch, punch.
Oh.
Pew, pew. Pow.
It's got some Batman 1989 sound effects in there.
It literally sounded like you and me on our mics right now, like, pew, pew. I was like, this could have been better.
Anyone want to pay us? We'll be the next Terminator movie. Pew, pew, pew.
That would be awesome. No problemo.
Hasta la vista.
So basically, then the guy's like, cool, I'm on your side. Let me take you to the building so you can blow it up. And this is a T-1000 favorite scene. And I actually thought this was one. I have two favorite scenes. This is my second favorite.
Yeah.
Where he is at the top of the second floor. And the Terminator whips out the giant machine gun.
Oh my God.
Starts blowing everybody in the parking lot. And I was like, listen, I'm not gonna say that I've had those days at work.
Jesus, Bridget.
No, oh, sorry. Too dark. I'm so sorry.
That is aggressive.
No, but think of, like, how cool is that, though? Just to, like, he was just like...
Well, and the best is John Connor is the one who, like, sees all the cops. Like, nobody else knows all the cops are there. So he runs in and he's like, oh, there's Butch police here. And Sarah goes, how many are there? And he goes, all of them, I think. That's his literal reaction. And then Arnold's like, I got this. And John's like, Arnold, don't kill anyone. And he's like, I got this. Don't worry. And then he magically doesn't kill anyone, even though he fired off, like, 8 million bullets. It was pretty magical.
That was magical. Woo! And it, even in his video game, was like zero casualties.
His video game, yep. He got high score on that one.
It was like, broop, level up.
So yeah, that was pretty awesome. And then they get, like, what? The microchip, and they get the bionic hand, arm, which was from the first Terminator, and that's what they use to make the technology. So if they get rid of all that, they won't have it to then form the new technology and hopefully can prevent it, blah, blah, blah. And then the cops come in and ruin everything.
Ugh.
And, you know, I don't know. But the guy still is able to detonate the detonator.
Yes. Yeah. And blow it up.
Then from there, the T-1000, he rides his motorcycle up a staircase.
I mean...
Upward. Like, not down. He goes up. Is that physics? Is that... How do we...
I think he was actually doing it.
How
so
does
yes.
motion work? I didn't know that was a thing.
Speed!
Holy moly. I guess so. Newton's law. Yo, but then when he jumps on the helicopter.
Okay.
So cool.
Okay, so our other T-1000 in real life, Tom, his other favorite scene is when he gets into the helicopter and he liquefies through the, like, bullet hole on the helicopter front screen. And then he comes back in. The guy is looking at him like, what is happening? And he goes, get out.
And the guy just jumps out. I know. I was like, well then.
But I thought about it. I was like, okay, wait. I'm in that scenario. I see Liquid Man be liquid and then come back to life. I'm probably not going to end up alive in the helicopter. And if I jump, I maybe will break some bones, but possibly live. So I think if that ever happens to you, go for the jump.
Yeah. Seemed like it was only like 30 to 50 feet. So he definitely lived.
Maybe you hit a tree, you know, got a little cushion on the fall. Sure. I don't know why we care about this guy. I just thought it was hysterical.
It was funny. And then you're right. Like, all the helicopter chase scenes. This is a wild man. Who was flying the helicopter? Because
oh my god, we got to say his name because come on, I'm gonna find it right now.
Kudos, sir, or madame, or
it was a guy.
Whoever.
The pilot is Chuck Tamburo.
Oh.
Basically, the crew was like, yeah, we're not going to do that and die. And James Cameron's like, cool, I will.
And he's like, let me get my tricycle and ring the little bell as I ride under the overpass. Yeah. Well, kudos to you, Mr. Chuck, because that was very impressive.
Yeah.
Did they actually then crash the helicopter into the back of the van? Because that also looked real. And I was like,
I do not know those specifics, but I'm going to lean towards a lot of things in this $100 million type budget was being destroyed.
Yep, definitely seemed like that.
Which you got to figure, there's only one take of that, right? Like, you
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, but my favorite scene. This is like, I was just... I don't know, I, like, turned into, like, a 12-year-old boy, and I was like, yeah!
You turned into our older brother, Jimmy.
I pretty much turned into Jimmy.
Oh, boy.
Arnold is like, drive, and he gets up, and he lands on the truck bed, and then he jumps on the helicopter and just goes, and just shoots him all in the face.
Was that on the helicopter?
Oh, no, that was the truck. That was the truck, sorry.
Because he crashes the helicopter, and then he steals a liquid nitrogen truck, and is like, JK, yes. We're not done with the chase. And you're like, And then, yeah, that's what Arnold does.
When he, oh, that that's what it is. So when he jumps on the truck and he just shoots them all in the face. And then basically, like, a bull rides the truck as it literally, like, slides into the side of that factory.
Yep.
I was like, this is so awesome.
It was so cool.
And it was so awesome in 2021, which you're like, wow, that is really impressive that, like, it didn't come off cheesy.
No, it really didn't. The only parts I thought were cheesy were, it was none of the action. It was, you know, picking up a toddler by his overalls for no reason.
Party city skeletons.
Yeah. So, and then just like in the first one, again, they end up in some sort of steel mill with basically molten lava. I don't know. Is this an active volcano? Who cares? It's a cool place to be running away.
It's definitely an active volcano.
Sure is. So then they have to run away and then there's more fighting. And at some point, Arnold's like arm gets stuck, I think, in like a gear.
But before that, which I think is an also pretty cool scene, is the liquid nitrogen because of science.
Science
freezes him because he's made all out of metal, and then Arnold blows him and he shatters.
And you're like, thank God. But then you're like, uh-oh, there's still like 25 minutes.
Yeah, you're like, but this movie keeps going.
Oh, how do we end? And then what, so what is it like then, because there's the fire, heat. It melts it? Is that what happens?
Oh, okay. Yeah. But there was basically a giant gear that Arnold got his arm stuck in and the T-1000 rolled it. And he just literally rolled and crushed his arm. I was like, ugh. Also, anytime there was like a represented an electric circuit, he had this like blue lightning bolt around him. And I was like, what?
I labeled that CGI lightning. I have it all over my notes. And I wrote... Oh, why? CGI lightning tells me now that Arnold's dead, but then he really wasn't dead, but CGI lightning. Yep.
Yes.
And then it's Linda Hamilton and she like got shot in the leg. So she's like limping and John Connor's like trying to drag her around. They're still trying to run away. And she's like, John, go down this like chain or whatever. And so he goes down and then he like is on another like giant wheel
conveyor belt
thing,
yeah,
where he just like disappears into the void of like, he could have fallen in lava, people. We don't know this place. What's going on here?
We don't. But I thought it was kind of cool that, like, you thought the Terminator was dead, and then it was like, bloop, alternate power source. I was like, ooh.
Okay, hold
language
on.
Language on that.
Hold on, because that was very close to being, I love that, obviously, because it was awesome that he, like, came back. But the way they had him come back was he has like no legs, or he's not using his legs. He's like laying on his stomach, and I swear to God, Bridge, like they did it in slow-mo, but it already looked like he was going so slow, and I felt like that scene went on for 5 minutes where it was just him, like it went on for so long, and my note goes, laughing my off at slow Arnold rolling into the scene to shoot the T-1000 into lava. Because it felt so slow, and I was like, is my TV broken? What's happening?
That was way too slow. But I really liked Linda Hamilton's moment where she was like, and she just was like, cocking the gun and just blowing him like crazy. And I was like, okay, first of all, you have like a bullet wound, your shoulder was stabbed, and she just got this like rage energy. And
sure
I
does.
I think that was actually my favorite part with her.
Yeah, she was awesome.
And then you're like, she's gonna kill him. Oh, wait, she's out of bullets. And then as you're pointing, he's on the merry-go-round.
And then the next hour, Arnold, no, he doesn't even move his arms. He's literally on a conveyor, but he's laying on his stomach, slowly coming forward. I'm gonna find that on YouTube, because if someone has not made a parody of that already, shame, internet.
Please do it for us. Please. But we also forgot about, which is a fun fact, the cloning of Linda Hamilton, which was her twin sister in real life.
Oh my god, she's a twin sister?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. I never knew that.
Yeah, so do you think that his sister was like really pissed? She was like, I was promised at least like 15 minutes of film, and you guys, all you did was do car crashes, and there was only 3 seconds left for me. This movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah, how funny is that though, that they had to use a twin? Because I mean, that, I feel like that could have been like some effects done, but I guess it's easier if you just have a person, sure.
Why not?
Way easier.
Yeah.
So then the T-1000 falls into lava, thank God. Somehow, again, you know, Katie isn't totally great with physics. I guess somehow that defeats him forever, are there not particles that could then like get evaporated and then like go and I don't know.
The only thing that went through my brain, so I was like, okay, he's melted plenty of times, so this isn't a thing. The only thing I thought of is the rest of it is metal, and so like, does he just get so confused he can't find himself again, and then that's what
that's
powers him off, and he's like, nope, we can't find each other, and then
maybe because you're right, it was a steel mill, so they were literally melting other metals and steel and whatever, so maybe.
I have no idea.
Well, I really feel like at the end of this, the way that this movie ends is it really is supposed to be the end, because then they throw in the original, like, oh, we have this Terminator arm and the microchip, throw those into lava, T-1000's gone, and then that's when Arnold is like, John, I got to go. Hasta la vista. I can't be your father. I am a robot. Goodbye. And John's like, no, who's gonna be my dad? No one's my dad.
Who am I gonna talk to?
Who am I gonna monologue to?
I can't high five anyone.
Yeah, I did get a little, I was like, this is sweet.
I loved it, and the thumbs up at the end.
Amazing.
Entering down.
Amazing.
Speaking of our real life T-1000, one of his favorite scenes too is also at the end where he said, you have to play the music where he's being dipped into molten metal at the end. It is epic.
Oh, I don't know if legally we can, but
it was like, oh. And then it's just Arnold with the thumbs up, because they're like,
amazing.
Wait, Arnold, it's been too long since a joke. And then he's like, hold on, he
thumbs up.
And that's how he ends.
Thumbs and up in fire sums up my quarantine experience where everything around me is on fire, but I'm just gonna have that thumb up as much as possible. Because, wow.
That's your meme. That's your meme. It's like,
that's me.
It's like me and Arnold for COVID.
Sinking into the lava, but I got a smile and my thumb is up. Yep. Amazing. It was a really, really cool ending.
It was great. I'm so happy that he picked this for us, and also just the fact that like I don't remember these many scenes because I watched this so long ago when I was a kid, but I'm really dying to listen to this quote you sent me. And is it from Dad?
It's a quote.
Is it from Jimmy?
I'm not gonna say who it's from. It's gonna be familiar.
Okay, I'm gonna start it now.
All right, so our movie this week was Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I bet I know the kind of music that guy likes. Heavy metal.
Jimmy playing dad.
Oh, hey, thank God. Ding, 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 ding. I'm so glad you got that because he wanted me to surprise you, and I thought that was so funny.
Sisters, that was our brother Jimmy.
That was. That's our older brother Jimmy. He was a big fan of this movie. We talked about it at the end of our last episode, but he watched this movie 10 billion times, probably too young. He definitely had a Terminator toy gun, and he would pretend to shoot us in the head often.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think we did our best, and I hope, Tom, you T-1000 in real life, I hope you enjoyed this, because I certainly did. This was a blast to watch.
This was an awesome pick. I am so happy this got picked.
Would you watch it again?
Absolutely.
Same. Same.
Absolutely. And I think at some point we will end up doing the first one.
Ooh.
Because the first one is good. It is good. It's just, it's different.
Yeah.
So thank you, Tom. This was an awesome pick.
Hear, hear.
All right. So you.
Me.
Used a fan pick for one of my suggestions. So now it's my turn to suggest a movie. And guess what?
It's a fan pick?
It is a fan pick. It is. We have a little list of fan picks, and we are going through them now.
Yes.
So actually, this genre of this pick is totally different.
Oh.
This
no
pick
Terminators?
Is... No, I don't think so. I'd be very surprised if there was in this one. So this is a comedy drama romance.
Right,
and
up my
it
alley.
Is a, I would consider it a like teen, and it's 80s. So it's like a
ooh,
teen.
Ooh, like Ferris Bueller style.
Kind of, but a little different.
Okay.
And okay, so this movie was picked by actually another podcaster who I would like to shout out this podcast because they have been so supportive of us.
Aww.
And I think they started listening to us over the past maybe couple weeks, maybe the past month or something. We kind of got connected. So this is a shout out to the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. They are also a nostalgic podcast. They kind of cover TV, movies, and just kind of conversations that are nostalgic themed.
Wait, this is my favorite Instagram buddy.
Yes! Ah! Yes, we shouted out KVNG Primetime.
Oh,
so,
wow. Full circle.
Yes, so they followed directions. They went on our website, sistershoseenit.com. Scroll down, everyone. This is not difficult. Christ. People know how to do it. Anyway, so I'm going to read what they wrote, and this is going to be the movie introduction, okay?
Okay, okay.
Okay, so this is what they wrote. They go, I would love for you to do Can't Buy Me Love on the podcast. I absolutely love that movie. It pretty much sums up the 80s teen movie genre. I also think this would be such a Katie movie. Me? Well then, is it because I get emotional too often? What do you mean? I would have thought this would be a Bridget movie, but alrighty then. That's fine. That's just fine. So we are doing Can't Buy Me Love, the 80s teen rom-com dram. Yep.
Can't buy me love.
Love. Oh, yeah.
Love. Okay, wait. My memory's going back. This is, wow. This is
so
a long
this
time
is
ago.
So 1987. This came out, and it stars Patrick Dempsey. It's Patrick Dempsey. I don't recognize some of the other immediate people.
This is, I feel like, is he trying to go on a date, or he's trying to be cool? Do you have the movie like plot there?
Yeah, so it's like an outcast kid, and he basically pays money to the popular girl to pretend to be his girlfriend. So, oh boy, interesting theme.
You might
coming
be
up here.
Able to buy coolness, but you can't buy me love.
Can't buy me love. I don't know if I've ever seen this one, but it sounds good.
Wow, thank you to them. Thank
yes,
you.
So thank you again. And that is a shout out to the Prime Nostalgia Podcast. They are an awesome podcast. I have started listening to them myself, listeners. They are great. You can check them out. They're on basically everywhere you can find a podcast. So check them out. And we will be doing an episode for you guys next week. Hopefully we do you guys justice. And I'm excited to see this movie.
I'm thrilled. Okay, Okay, so sisters, listen. We all have established Katie does all the work on this podcast, and I show up as the talent. So I did one thing. I did one thing, guys, and I want to talk about it. It is on our Instagram as a link. You know, if you click on the link in bio, you can go to our link tree, and you could see buy coffee for us. We drink yes. Dunkin' Donuts, but you don't have to do all that work. You pretty much just give us money, which is donations for yes. coffee. And then on our website, there's also a link for that. And we have not one, but two supporters. One Woo! Might have been my husband that I forced, but I don't Oops. Care. Oops.
He's a fan. He's a care. Fan. It's fine. It's fine.
And I just feel like if you really are enjoying what we're doing, we're going to try to do some fun stuff with this in the future. And you can sit tight and wait for that. But in the meantime, if you like this energy, we need some coffee to keep it up. So
we sure do.
Send us some coffee.
Sure do. And you should also do it to give Bridget some positive reinforcement because she did it.
So I helped. I did
she
a thing.
She did. She I did. I didn't even tell her to do that, listeners. Bridget yeah. did it all on her own. Yeah, very I did. Awesome. I really do appreciate that.
I did.
That.
I figured we'd had to buy back in dad quotes. So this is the step. All right? Yes. This is step one.
Yes. So listeners, you can buy us coffees or just consider it a donation. It is always appreciated. We would also appreciate if you want to check out our website. So we are at, again, sisterswhoseenit.com. If you would like to be like Tom, the T-1000 from this episode, or the Prime Nostalgia Podcast, which will be next episode, you can request a movie on our website. You go to the main page, scroll down. There is a form you can fill out a movie you would like us to do. Our only rule is it must be nostalgic, which means nothing within the last 10 years. That's a rule that I made up. Bridget, I don't think agrees with that rule, but
I don't know.
I made that up. So, whatever. You know, you do the math. We also have an email. So we are sisterswhoseenit@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to us, say hi or, you know, give us feedback, anything like that. We would love to hear from you guys. So all that stuff is great.
And Kate, Bridget? I just want to let you know, if you ended up in the mental hospital because you were trying to stop Judgment Day from nuclear war based on the robots taking over.
Wow.
I would help you do a couple pull-ups.
I would need help with that, number one. I would also need help with the running scenes. I need help with that. So, and Bridge.
Yeah?
If you were being chased by a liquid nitrogen truck and I was driving the car, I'd be like, yo, take over driving, and I'd get out of the car, and I'd jump on the hood, and I'd shoot the guy in the face, and then I'd probably scream because it'd be really scary. But hopefully that would do the trick.
Wow, that was like really a big leap from your typicals. That's, wow. I'm going to make more Ko-Fi sites.
I had to add the scream in there because I was like, wait, that doesn't seem like me. So let's make it a little more realistic. Okay. Yep.
So sisters, thank you for this episode. Thank you, Tom.
We'll be back.
Thank you, back. Oh, we'll be back. Hasta la vista, baby.
No problemo. High five.
Bye-bye.
I love you, Kate. Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sisterswhoseenit.com, where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week.